Hey everyone, welcome back to BrightLearn.ai. You know, we've got something really eye-opening to talk about today. We're diving into this explosive new book called Toxic Pantry: How Big Food, Corrupt Agencies, and Addictive Poisons Are Making You Sick, and How to Fight Back. And let me tell you, some of the stuff in here, wow, it's gonna make you look at your grocery store receipts in a whole new light. This isn't just about food. It's about a system that's been deliberately designed to keep us sick, dependent, and disconnected from real nutrition.
Oh man, I can already tell this is going to be good. What's the most shocking thing you've found so far?
Okay, so pause short. First off, the revolving door between the FDA and big food? It's not just suspicious. It's outright corruption. We're talking about people who are supposed to be regulating our food safety one day, then collecting paychecks from the very companies they were regulating the next. And you know what? They're not even trying to hide it. The book lays out how former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb went straight from protecting public health to sitting on Pfizer's board. And he's just one example. There are dozens of these cases where regulators become industry lobbyists or executives. It's a system designed to protect corporate profits, not human health.
That's actually terrifying. I mean, we trust these agencies to protect us, right? But if they're basically working for the other side, it's like the fox guarding the henhouse. And it makes me think, this isn't just about food, is it? It's the same pattern we see with Big Pharma and the FDA, where the people making the rules are the same ones profiting from the drugs they approve.
Exactly. And it gets worse when you realize this corruption isn't just about individuals. It's systemic. The book reveals how the FDA has repeatedly fast-tracked approvals for synthetic food additives, GMOs, and even mRNA-based food vaccines without proper long-term safety testing. And here's the kicker. They're now pushing for something called digital food approvals, where AI systems could greenlight new food chemicals without human oversight. We're talking about a future where algorithms, potentially controlled by the same corporations that profit from these additives, decide what's safe for us to eat.
Wait, mRNA in food? Like, the same technology they used in the COVID shots?
Yes, and it's already happening. There's research, like that study from JBioC BioWang, showing how they're engineering plants to produce vaccine peptides directly in seeds. They're calling it edible vaccines. So you could be eating a soybean or corn chip that's literally been genetically modified to produce vaccine proteins in your body. And the worst part? They're using antibiotic resistance genes as markers in these GMOs, which could be contributing to the superbug crisis. But hey, why worry about that when there's money to be made, right?
That's pause. That's next level dystopian. I mean, we can't even trust seeds now. And you're saying the FDA is just letting this happen?
Oh, they're not just letting it happen. They're actively facilitating it. The book exposes how the FDA has been captured by what they call the food industrial complex. It's a network of big food corporations, chemical companies like Monsanto, now Bayer, pharma giants, and even tech companies working together to control the food supply. And it's not just about profits. There's a depopulation agenda here. They've been slowly poisoning the food supply with chemicals that cause infertility, obesity, diabetes, conditions that make people dependent on their pharmaceutical solutions. It's a sick cycle. Make people sick with toxic food, then sell them drugs to manage the symptoms.
That's actually evil, but okay, let's break this down. You mentioned excitotoxins earlier. Those are the brain-damaging chemicals, like MSG hiding under other names, right?
Right, and it's worse than most people realize. These excitotoxins, MSG, aspartame, hydrolyzed proteins, they're in almost everything processed. And they're not just making food taste better. They're literally rewiring our brains to crave more of these toxic products. The book cites studies showing how these chemicals trigger dopamine releases that are more addictive than cocaine for some people. That's why you can't eat just one chip or stop at one soda. It's by design.
And here's something that'll blow your mind. They're now putting these same excitotoxins in plant-based fake meats. Remember when JBS shut down their Plantera fake meat division? They claimed it was about redirecting focus, but the real reason might be that people are waking up to how processed these products are. They're loaded with the same chemical additives as junk food, plus synthetic biology ingredients that have never been properly tested for long-term effects.
So even the healthy alternatives are part of the scam? That's really disheartening. But you know, it makes me think about how we've been conditioned to trust these labels. Natural, organic, heart healthy. I mean, vegetable oils were supposed to be the healthy choice, right?
Oh, that might be the biggest lie of all. The book dedicates a whole chapter to how the vegetable oil industry, soybean, canola, corn oil, completely fabricated the saturated fat is bad narrative. They funded flawed studies in the 1950s and 60s, then used their influence to get the government to recommend these oils as, quote, healthy. But the truth? These oils are some of the most inflammatory, toxic substances we consume. They're loaded with oxidized omega-6 fatty acids that destroy our cell membranes, promote obesity, and even contribute to cancer.
And get this, the processing of these oils creates toxic byproducts like 4-HNE, which is linked to Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. But the FDA still lets them label it as heart healthy, because the industry has so much control over the regulatory process. It's not science, it's marketing.
That's actually insane. So we've been eating this stuff for generations, thinking it's good for us, and it's actually been making us sicker, and the government knows?
Oh, they know. And it's not just vegetable oils. Let's talk about sugar, specifically high fructose corn syrup. The book reveals internal documents from the 1970s where sugar industry executives admitted they were funding research to blame fat for heart disease, not sugar. They knew then what we're seeing now, that fructose is metabolized directly into fat in your liver, causing insulin resistance, fatty liver disease, and metabolic syndrome. And high fructose corn syrup? It's in everything. Bread, salad dressing, even healthy granola bars. They've engineered our food supply to make us addicted and sick.
So pause short. What do we do? I mean, it feels overwhelming when you realize how deep this goes. Like, how do we even start fixing this?
Here's the thing. We don't fix it by playing their game. We opt out. And the good news is more people are waking up to this every day. The book lays out a whole blueprint for taking back control. First, we stop buying their poison. That means reading labels like, our lives depend on it, because they do. If it's got more than 5 ingredients, or if you can't pronounce half of them, it's probably toxic. And natural flavors. That's code for, we don't want you to know what's really in here.
But it's not just about avoidance, it's about replacement. We need to bring back real, nutrient-dense foods. Foods that heal instead of harm. And here's where it gets exciting. There's a whole movement of people growing their own food, even in small spaces. You don't need a farm. A windowsill herb garden, a balcony with some container plants, a community garden plot. These are acts of rebellion against the system.
I love that. It's like pause short. Every seed we plant is a middle finger to big food. And, you know, it's not just about the food itself. It's about the knowledge, right? Like learning how to grow things, how to cook from scratch, how to preserve food. These are skills that make us resilient.
Absolutely. And that resilience is key because they're not going to give up their control easily. The book talks about how they're now pushing for things like lab-grown meat and 3D printed food. They're trying to replace real food with patented, synthetic alternatives that they can control. There's even research, like that study on printing glass structures, showing how they're developing 3D printed food systems where the ink could include mRNA sequences or nanotech additives. They want to turn food into a subscription service where you're dependent on their tech for every meal.
That's pause. That's terrifying. But you know what? It also makes me think about how we can use some of this tech for good. Like, there are people using 3D printing to create open source tools for self-sufficiency, garden tools, water filters, even parts for off-grid energy systems. If we can decentralize food production, maybe we can decentralize other things too.
Now you're speaking my language. That's exactly the kind of thinking we need. The book actually highlights some amazing grassroots movements where people are combining low-tech and high-tech solutions. Like those Third Saturday seminars, teaching people to build homes from natural materials that last 1,000 years. Or the rise of decentralized food systems, where communities are using aquaponics, food forests, and seed-saving networks to become truly food independent.
And here's something powerful. When you grow your own food or buy from local farmers, you're not just feeding yourself, you're supporting a completely different economic model. One that values health, sustainability, and community over corporate profits. It's a direct threat to their system.
That's actually really beautiful when you think about it. Like, every time we choose real food, we're voting for the kind of world we want to live in. And it's not just about the food. It's about the connections, right? Knowing your farmer, trading seeds with neighbors, teaching kids where food really comes from.
Exactly. And that's what they're afraid of. communities that are self-reliant and connected. Because when people start growing their own food, saving their own seeds, and sharing knowledge, they become harder to control. The book calls this food sovereignty, and it's a global movement. From urban gardens in Detroit to permaculture farms in Brazil, people are reclaiming their right to healthy, real food.
But here's the thing we can't forget. This isn't just a food fight. It's part of a bigger war for our freedom. The same people pushing toxic food are the ones pushing digital IDs, CBDCs, and climate lockdowns. They want to control every aspect of our lives, what we eat, how we move, even how we think. But when we take back our food, we take back a piece of our sovereignty.
That's Paws. That's so true. And you know, it's not just about resisting their system. It's about building something better. Like, when we choose real food, we're not just avoiding toxins. We're nourishing our bodies in ways that make us stronger, healthier, more resilient. It's like Paws Short, every healthy meal is an act of defiance and an investment in our future.
I love that. And that future is already being built. There are networks popping up everywhere. Seed libraries, food co-ops, teaching farms, where people are sharing knowledge and resources. The book highlights how during COVID, when the supply chains broke down, it was these local food systems that kept people fed. That's the power of decentralization.
And here's something else that's exciting. The rise of alternative food technologies that actually work with nature instead of against it. Like bioplastics made from fruit waste. There was this study where they found apple pomace and orange peels can be turned into strong, compostable materials. Or the work being done with mycelium to create packaging that's not just non-toxic, but actually beneficial for the soil. These are the kinds of innovations we should be supporting, ones that heal the planet instead of poisoning it.
That's amazing. It's like Paws Short, we're at this crossroads where one path leads to more corporate control, more synthetic food, more dependence, and the other path leads to real health, real community, real freedom. And the choices we make every day determine which path we're on.
Absolutely. And those choices add up. Every time you cook a meal from scratch, every time you support a local farmer, every time you teach someone else about real food, you're helping to build that other path. The book ends with this powerful idea that food is medicine, but it's also resistance. When we reject their toxic pantry and build our own systems of nourishment, we're not just protecting our health, we're fighting for our freedom.
That's Paws. That's the kind of message that gives me hope, because it's not just about what we're against, it's about what we're for. We're for real food that heals. We're for communities that care. We're for a future where our kids can grow up strong and healthy, not addicted to processed junk. And the best part? We don't have to wait for permission to start building that future. We can start today. With our next meal.
Exactly. And that's the power of this book. It doesn't just expose the problems, it gives us the tools to fight back. It's a manual for food freedom. So let's leave our listeners with this. Start small if you need to. Swap out one processed food for a real food this week. Plant one herb. Find one local farmer to support. Because those small acts, they're the seeds of a revolution. And trust me, the food industrial complex is terrified of what happens when those seeds start to grow.
I love that. And, you know, if you're feeling overwhelmed by all this, just remember, every journey starts with a single step. Or in this case, maybe a single seed. So let's get planting, literally and metaphorically. And let's make sure that when they look back at this time in history, they'll say, this was the moment when we took back our plates, our health, and our freedom.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And hey, if you want to dive deeper into this, the book Toxic Pantry is packed with resources. Everything from how to detox, from food additives, to how to build your own food resilience plan. We'll drop a link in the show notes so you can grab your copy. Because knowledge is power, and in this case, it's the power to nourish ourselves and our communities in ways that defy their toxic system.
And as always, we want to hear from you. What steps are you taking to clean up your pantry? Have you started growing your own food? Found a great local farmer? Share your stories with us, because we're all in this together. The more we share, the stronger we become.
Absolutely. And remember, this isn't just about food, it's about freedom. So let's eat like our lives depend on it, because they do. Thanks for joining us on brightlearn.ai. Until next time, stay curious, stay bold, and keep fighting for the world you want to live in.
And keep your pantry toxic-free. See you next time.